This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, final hour of the show. He's Nick, I'm Joel, together with the Press Box. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM as we roll through a Thursday on the big program. No remotes this week for us as the summer circuit has taken a week off, I think.
Next week.
Are we going to Webster next week again?
Next week on Friday, AJ's final day, Carbach.
Are we part of that?
I don't know if the Press Box is, but I know the Blitz is.
Yeah, I think no one cares about that. They only care about where you and I
general,
are.
You're clearly a selfish human being.
No, I'm clearly someone that cares about our program first and foremost, which everybody else should, and that's why most people are listening now. So when we're out and about, we'd like to meet the peeps and hang out. So
I agree.
That's all I'm saying. I know we've got another one coming up in Webster in the near future.
We're going back to
Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through the whole summer. So we will be back on the road again in no time. But this week is no time to be planning for it because we won't be going.
So what's on DeAndre Hopkins' mind?
You tell me, brother, because I think we're referring to the same thing. But I saw his latest tweet.
I mean, it was literally like 11 minutes ago. It reads as follows. Never thought I would say this. This is DeAndre Hopkins, former Texans wide receiver, currently playing for Arizona. Mm-hmm. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. So, he doesn't want to do the vaccine. And now, based on the tone of this tweet, maybe he doesn't want to play in the NFL anymore.
You know, it's easy to say that now, but when the checks stop coming in.
Them football checks, dude, those are fantastic.
And the fact that the media's not knocking on your door and you're not getting the attention you're used to getting and you're not in the locker room hanging with the fellas and you're not getting those endorsement deals. It's you're going to miss it real quick because the NFL today, headline on ESPN, warning teams, COVID-19 outbreaks among unvaccinated players could lead to forfeited games. So now they're not telling you what you have to do. They're telling you what they will do if you aren't vaccinated and then subsequently end up dealing with COVID.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it in the event more star players have problems with the vaccine or getting the vaccine. Because there have been quite a bit of players been on record where they, you know, take to Twitter or not, they have no problem saying they don't want to get the vaccine. Now, if DeAndre Hopkins does indeed retire right now, and we're not saying he is, I'm just going based on what he said in the tweet, he would have played eight seasons in the NFL. Has played 16 games in each season with an exception of two. He played 15 games in those seasons. He would finish with just over 10,000 yards. The past four seasons have been 1,000-yard seasons, including last year where he had 1,407 yards. I mean, this is a great player that we're talking about here and an asset on any roster. And so it would be crazy if he really decided not to play. But that's how passionate some people are about the vaccine and not getting the vaccine or getting the vaccine, depending on which side of the fence that you are. Who was the other? Was it Cole Beasley?
Yep.
Another guy?
Did you see Mark Cuban actually tried to make a deal with them to try and convince him to still get the vaccine?
I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I saw it on Twitter.
So according to today's memo that went out from Commissioner Roger Goodell to all the teams, the NFL has added COVID-19 vaccination incentives for players, threatening forfeits and the loss of game checks if an outbreak of unvaccinated players causes an unresolvable disruption in the regular season schedule. He informed the clubs today in a memo, and the league encouraged vaccination for players. It has not required it because they can't due to the NFL Players Association. However, they set up a series of incentives. Goodell wrote, more than 75% of the NFL's players were at least partially vaccinated. More than half of the league's teams have player vaccination rates above 80%. Unvaccinated players are going to be subjected to severe protocols during training camp in the regular season, which would include daily testing, mask wearing, travel restrictions. And they made it very clear unvaccinated players could be responsible for the loss of games, and paychecks as well. That's a threat.
That is a threat. And here's the deal. How about, because I saw the commissioner of the SEC talk about vaccinated players versus unvaccinated players. And what he said was, we're not going to postpone any games. We're not going to cancel any games. If you don't have enough people, or if you have enough people that test positive to where you can't play, you're simply going to forfeit. Why don't you employ some sort of policy that's closer to that? Not necessarily force them to make a decision on the vaccine, but say, hey, if there's enough positive tests, guess what? You're not playing. And a part of the reason why they may not take that approach is maybe there's a trust factor or a trust issue factor, because who's handling the tests? Do they trust that they'll be accurate and they'll actually own up and say that when they test positive? And there's a lot of other factors, but why don't you just tell teams, look, if you don't have enough players, we're not going to give you another chance to play. All right. If you're going to test positive, we're just going to go with the schedule as moving forward. And if you don't win, but you'll forfeit. But the problem with that is the money, the dollars. You know what I mean? That's why the NFL probably can't take that approach as opposed to college.
So a forfeit in the upcoming season will be called if all of the following circumstances occur. A game is postponed by requirements of government authorities or medical experts, or at the discretion of the commissioner because of ongoing health concerns due to an outbreak. The league can't find a suitable date to reschedule within the 18-week schedule. The original postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. So essentially, if there's an outbreak, as we've seen, of people that are vaccinated, you're off the hook. But if you're not vaccinated and there's an outbreak and you're, I guess, one of a few, at least multiples that are part of this, and you aren't vaccinated, that suddenly everything changes and you forfeit the games and we're not going to reschedule it?
It's kind of a weird rule, huh?
I would think so.
I mean, they have to have some sort of policy in place, and there's not going to be any one policy that makes complete sense. But I totally get the factor of I don't want to be forced to vaccinate myself if I don't have to.
So the league said it's more in the fact that, yes, they were able to reschedule all the games last year, but they did a lot of things they don't want to do again, like games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Right.
And according to the memo, they said whether to reschedule or postpone a game will be dependent on health and safety reasons at the recommendation of medical experts, as well as consideration of stadium availability, schedule integrity, fan convenience, and other appropriate matters. But essentially what they're saying is throw all that out the window. If it's involving players that aren't vaccinated, all bets are off. We can pull your game checks. We can blame you 100%, or at least point the finger at you as someone to blame. You don't get your game check. Your team loses the game. Your locker room hates you. So essentially, it's like a threat. I mean, this is like a Gestapo thing, the way they're putting pressure on the players.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same as, hey, if you don't get the flu shot, you don't get to play. But it's kind of like that. It's like, are you going to make me get a flu shot?
Here's the craziest thing.
And you won't let me be employed?
I thought it was just if you're the unvaccinated player that had tested positive that you lost your game check. When I say that all people in the locker room are going to hate you, and not just your locker room, the other locker room, it says if the forfeit occurs, players from both teams lose that game check. So you're willing to play. You don't have COVID. You're a star player. But guess what? If said player on other team who isn't vaccinated is the reason why this is all going on and the game can't be played, you don't get your money.
That's freaking crazy. You know what? That, you know who that makes happy? The owners. Because look, if I'm forced to not play, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to pay these guys. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, each one of those team owners and teams and front offices are going to have to address their respective fan base. You know, if you start canceling games and everybody's making plans around this one particular game or this one particular weekend, that's going to be some problems, you know? And you can't just sit there and give out refunds for everything. It's hard. It's just hard to give people money, you know, their money back like that. Even though they have millions and millions and millions in dollars of the bank, you just can't do that. That's crazy to make the other team punished. I would imagine that's not going to fly, but I could see certain star players still getting paid regardless.
I
see priority being shown in that situation for sure.
Here's the scenario I keep thinking in my head, Nick. If you and I have lockers next to each other, I'm vaccinated, you're not. This scenario happens. You cost me a game check. I'm pissed at you beyond belief. Whether there's a confrontation or not.
Especially in football, because the game checks are traditionally way bigger because there's way less games.
Because you only get paid for the season. You don't get paid for the preseason and for the training camp.
Yeah. So your game check, if you're an NFL player, granted that, you know, that you have a big contract, this is going to be significantly bigger than, let's say, a game check that James Harden gets. Like, if you have that big contract, is what I'm saying.
Or you and I are boys. You're on team A. I'm on team B. You're not vaccinated. I am. You are. They identify you as being unvaccinated and one of the reasons why we're not playing this week. Then the NFL tells me, because we're not playing this week, I'm not getting paid. You don't think that I'm either going to text you or call you?
You're not getting a penny from me, buddy.
I'm going off.
You're not getting a dollar from me. If I'm not getting a paycheck, why the hell should I pay your paycheck?
And then when word travels, half the league's going to be pissed at you.
No, that's why it's a stupid rule. You can't put it on other – you can't take the paycheck.
Well, this is what they're trying to do. That's my point.
It's a stupid rule, though. Like, you can't – no player is going to be like, you know what? I'm the one who caused this. So am I not going to get my paycheck, my game check, I'm going to go ahead and pay you your game check that you're supposed to get from your billionaire owner. Hell no. That's stupid as hell. I'm not doing that.
So here's the final quote from the memo. It says, the operating principles are designed to allow us to play a full season in a safe and responsible way, Goodell wrote, and address possible competitive or financial issues fairly. Let's be honest. You're not pulling this leg over here, Raj. The bottom line is you're putting the mighty dollar and all the financial issues above the personal beliefs and preferences from a health standpoint of your players.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
I guess if you're Arizona, you're not like incredibly upset because they only gave up a second round pick for DeAndre.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose him. You're in a tough division. You got a good team. You got a chance to actually take a next step up, and you're going to lose the best receiver in football?
I would definitely be having a conversation. But like, look, what can I say to make you want to get this vaccination? Now that other wide receiver that we have on the team, he sucks. I really don't care if he gets the vaccination, but I need you to get the vaccination, D-Hop, because you're good. And you actually catch footballs. That guy does it. So what can I do? What could you, for James Harden, we would know. We'd be like, look, I'll get you 3-4 strippers. I'll give you unlimited visits to the strip club. I know the owner. Done. James Harden's going to be like, sign me up. Let me get the vaccination. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just... I mean, I'm wondering how many of his own teammates are already calling him and texting him. I mean, JJ? Just got here, bro. You're my dude. I need you. Come on, man. Right?
I would imagine there's probably at least three or four teammates. Whoever he's boys with on that roster.
Exactly right. All right, we're rolling through the final hour of the program. Much more to get to. If it involves you, that means get on it. Let us know. Get into the discussion. 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. He's Nick. I'm Joel. We're the Press Box at ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back rolling through the final hour of the program. And look, we just gave you the details last segment. And in no way, shape, or form are we trying to tell you or you should or shouldn't get it, or that we're picking on one side or the other. We're just giving you everything the NFL just laid out and our opinions. And
obviously, you're getting bitched at because we had a vaccine topic.
No, people between Twitch and Twitter, and people are gonna start trying to make this political, trying to make this. You know, I made a comment that you shouldn't take it completely literally. I could have said bullying, bogarting. I could have said a lot of things that I didn't say, but I said that the NFL is kind of acting like a Gestapo. They're coming in and they're making all the rules and they're telling you how it's going to be. Well, the Gestapo killed people, but you know what? Don't take it too far. What I'm saying is, they're playing like a mafia. They're playing like a bully ball situation. Is that better for you? That they shouldn't be able to do. That's what I was saying. I shouldn't even have to explain that.
See, that's why I can't take some of these calls. Because then you're now that we're now vaccine is the topic point, and now people are going to get angry.
If you want to take it,
I'm not taking it.
Take it. If
I can't see the person's name,
I can't either.
So, but yep, that's the way it is. So, what are your thoughts on the whole Texas Oklahoma thing and going to the SEC? Because they asked Jimbo Fisher about it. Mm-hmm. I can play the audio first and then get your thoughts if you want to do it that way.
Let's do that. You can do it either way, because the A&M athletic director also chimed in, and Lisa, of all people, because she had to report on it this morning during the newscasts, was talking about it and saying, is it a big deal and should we be talking about it?
It is a big deal.
It's a massive deal.
It's a massive deal. Here's what Jimbo Fisher had to say after he was asked about it.
I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a report in the Houston Chronicle that Texas and Oklahoma are inquiring about joining the SEC.
I bet they would.
What would you think about something like that?
I don't know. I'm just worried about A&M. You know what I mean? Listen, we got the greatest league in ball. So, I mean, you know, that's the choices they make or what they do. I don't know, but I don't know how I feel about it. I'm just worried about A&M. I'll control what I want to control here.
My first question is, if you don't know Jimbo Fisher, that laugh at the end there, it sounded like a nervous laugh. Like, he don't want them to come.
Would you?
No,
you're in the greatest football conference in the country, and you've got a free reign on the state of Texas, right? Unless Nick Saban identifies a handful of players that are on his top A list of guys he wants to, and that's again, by the way, in your conference, you have top pecking order in the entire football rich state of Texas. We've talked about it over and over again. There's California, Florida, Texas, those three where most of the prospects come from. All right. You, and this is the same way when we were going back years ago when they were talking about U of H getting into a bigger conference. There were so many schools that didn't want it because now they're on an equal playing field with the other schools from the same given conference that they were going to join that had recruited and had done really well and been successful getting top-notch kids out of Houston.
Yeah.
Now suddenly it's a problem. So if you're Jimbo, and I think I heard the Blitz talking about this yesterday, that the way it's all been presented, you have to have four teams that would go against it in terms of denying them so it doesn't happen. I got to believe A&M's top of the list going, nope, just nope and no.
And I think, too, what you're referencing about the AD, I think that's what he said. He goes, they want to be the only team in the SEC from the state of Texas. And that obviously makes sense for so many reasons, not just for recruiting, obviously for a monetary standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. And then you add the fact that if you bring in Texas to the SEC right now, even if they don't do well for the first two or three years, their brand alone is going to take a lot of shine away from Texas A&M. And I know Aggies fans don't want me to hear, they don't want to hear this, but it's just from a brand standpoint, even when they haven't won anything in so many years, just from a brand standpoint, it's just going to elevate everything so much. And they're going to bring so much money in that the SEC is going to start showing them preferential treatment and all that other stuff that goes along with it. So even if Texas doesn't do well the first year or two, maybe even three seasons, that totally hurts Texas A&M.
I don't know that it hurts A&M, but I think that
it takes the shine away. It takes a little bit of the spotlight away for sure.
Okay. It's unrealistic in my book to think that Texas with a new coach that just tried, that they thought they had the right guy in Herman, and it got all, and he had all, and now it's all his, for the most part, it's his recruits. Now going forward, Sarkisian's recruiting his tail off. But it was going to take some time anyway. But now you're telling me that it's, I get it, it's all finances. It's all being controlled by just money, 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 money. Because otherwise, what are we doing here? I mean, forever and a day, and I can just tell you the ultimate frustration that shows you it's all run by money. There's no way in hell, and take my conference, for example. There's no way in hell that the Big Ten should have Rutgers and Penn State and Maryland in it.
Yeah.
Okay? It was great when the ACC, or take the SEC, Southeast Conference. Keep them all in the Southeast. Keep them all in that. Geographically, the Big Ten was the Midwest. The Pac-10 was the West Coast. The SEC was the Southeast. The ACC was on the East Coast. But now, because of money, and because money and the almighty dollar controls everything, now, and it started in basketball before it even got to football, when you had teams like Notre Dame, or you had Marquette, and they wanted to be in the ACC, or you had ACC teams or Big East teams that had to get in the ACC because it was a better basketball conference. I don't know what we're doing here, But the last thing that we're really thinking about is, like, do you really want just one massive conference? What you're really getting to, especially if this starts happening, because Oklahoma, on the other hand, has been in the Final Four, has been in the College Bowl Championship Series. And before that, they've been in the BCS. They're a prominent football team. But you know what? If we're just going to do this, then we might as well just throw all the conferences away and try and figure out a way where you're just going to take the top teams and have them play each other all year long and then try to decipher out who the two best teams are, because you're just blowing it up from what it used to be when conferences were real conferences based on geography and then worried about them all making money.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're looking at it objectively, and there's no objectivity when it comes down to conference alignment in college football. The money has a massive impact. That's why you see conferences that are a lot, like, very top heavy, where maybe one or two, maybe even three programs in the particular conference is doing great and making a lot of money, and the college football program is doing all kinds of great things and wonderful things for the campus. And then the rest of the teams are not so much. I mean, that's the reason why that exists, because money is what dictates a lot of this alignment. And if they just did it on geographic, and look, over time, if you just do anything from a geographic standpoint, those geographic areas evolve or devolve based on how lucrative that conference is, how lucrative those programs are, how attractive those programs are. At one point, everybody wanted to play for Texas. And to a certain extent, despite the fact that they're not winning well, there's still a lot of people that want to play at Texas. There's a lot of people that want to play at A&M, even though they haven't really won anything, because their facilities are amazing and they're in the SEC and they got a big name coach called Jimbo Fisher. But the geographic point, I think it's fair, but I think it's just too objective of a way to look at it, considering
it's all
there's
money
too
driven,
much dictated
right?
by the money. Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I wasn't from here, but I looked forward to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I looked forward to some of those in-conference battles that got blown up just for the sake of the mighty dollar. And I know that everybody's going to have the pushback, and this is where we're going to. And this is why when we get to the discussion we had a few weeks ago about the college football playoffs and how many should be in and how many should be out, and it's really about getting more SEC teams in there than anything else. You know what? It shouldn't be, though. It should be about everybody, you know, and Lisa was like, well, as long as they're D1, isn't that what everybody's shooting for? No, not anymore. They're shooting for the best of the best. They're shooting for, you know, where am I going to be on TV the most? And where am I going to get the most exposure? And where am I going to get, you know, and where is the school going to get the most money? And that's what it all comes down to. I don't see this happening in the short term, because I think there's going to be plenty of schools that say, I'm out. And the Blitz covered it really well last night, too, in terms of whether it's a mid-leveled conference school in the SEC going, now we're going to get pushed down even further because you're adding at least one of the two schools as a national powerhouse, or you're going to get, you know, other teams that from a recruiting standpoint say, no, I'm not having another team in Texas. So it's we're open for discussion. The Blitz covered it really well yesterday because we had Barkley on, couldn't get to it, but that's just my initial thoughts on it, and evidently that's obviously A&M's thoughts to some degree. Before we get to the final half hour of the program, I got to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O and his staff, I believe in these people because they've shown me results. They can do the same thing for you, and it's on many different levels. You want to get on a workout program? You want to get on a full body composition analysis? It literally takes a minute, and they're going to have all this data for you and tell you what your body fat is and what you need to work on and what your levels are, and then start talking to you, asking you questions that get you results and get you where you want to go. Same thing if you want to recover quicker, they have HGH peptide therapy. If you're a man or a woman, you don't have the energy you once had, from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, they're here to help. And they can construct a plan and get you where you need to go, from hormone therapy to other possibilities. You have to be honest with them when they ask you the tough questions. If you are, they're going to get your results. They do it on a daily basis. And men and women have found out with the hormone therapy, they feel like a new brand of themselves all over again. They feel like they're in their 20s. It's amazing the things they can do if you just make that first appointment. All you got to do is go to apollomh.com and book it. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN Radio. Get a free B12 shot on your first visit and let the process go from there. Like I said, answer their questions. Participate with everything that they tell you is in the program. You're going to get results. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. It starts today by contacting the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Boy, show's gone fast today. A lot of quality content, bouncing around, keeping it mostly local, but getting everything that you guys were involved in, passionate about, and speaking with us in terms of, and having good discussions. So we appreciate that. Again, Astros off. Starting a weekend series with the Rangers for the boot. Again, it bothers me that there is a boot, and the fact that there's only one boot instead of two boots. Because whether they're made for walking or ass-kicking, you're better off with two instead of one, unless you're the guy that cheated on John Clay Wolf's wife.
Boots are made for, wasn't that Frank Sinatra's daughter?
Nancy, yes. And then, for you younger generational types, in the remake of The Dukes of Hazzard, it was Jess Simpson.
Yes.
And it was a quality video, I might add.
I'm sure you still watch it till this day.
I would. I haven't.
But Nancy was hot too, right, back in the day?
I don't remember, but I'm going to say no. Evidently, you're going to look at it right now.
I'm watching her video. Yeah, she was attractive for back in the day.
She floats your boat?
I mean, I'm just saying, back in the day.
She tickles your fancy?
Didn't say all that. I'm just saying she was attractive.
Was she?
I mean, for her time, right?
She ain't no Jessica Simpson.
I mean.
How are you the old guy now?
They didn't have HD back in the day. You're the one who made the reference.
But you think Nancy Sinatra's hot.
I think she's in that video, y'all didn't think you didn't think she's hot in this video.
First of all, of the people listening, how many people you think have seen or even know about that video? Or the fact that you can call it a video when it wasn't?
There's a bunch of old farts in the Twitch, too. It's not just a bunch of youngins.
Palillo's napping, so he's not listening right now. And he's definitely not on the Twitch.
But if he was listening right now,
he would know this song. And I believe he would like it.
I did introduce him to the song that Trey introduced to me, the Squid song that sounds like the B-52s. Remember he played it for us? Or I played it. He told us about it. And you were like, yeah, it does sound like the B-52s. And he liked it.
I did say that?
Yeah, Trey was sitting right next to you. I played the song. He's the one who told us about it. And you said, you know what? It does sound like the B-52s. You don't remember the song?
I don't. I don't know that I want to be reminded of it.
No, it sounded good. You said you liked it.
Okay. Well, then I must have. But I don't recall. But, you know, when Trey talks a lot of times, it's...
Well, you just...
He says a lot. It's hard to take it all in sometimes.
He does talk quite a bit.
Yeah. And then the voice itself has a tendency for you to tune out sometimes.
This is the song we played. And
this
you said yes.
Squid?
Yeah, it's called Squid. The song is called The Cleaner. Your memory is worse than mine.
I mean, I would have, if there were...
Who's the one that smokes between the two of us? I mean...
Is that the instrumental, or is that just the whole song?
It's instrumental for like 45 seconds, then he starts singing. Look here.
If the singer sounds a little bit like Tan Roof Rusted, then I'd get it.
I'm a cleaner, all the lights are off when I ride.
Oh, yeah, it's B-52-ish, for sure. Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it?
I'll allow it, I'll go with it. Yep. B-52-ish. Trey is the cutting-edge music guy in certain genres. I don't think in all genres. I don't think he's knee-deep in rap and hip-hop.
Rap and hip-hop, no, but he does have a old soul for sure when it comes down to stuff like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, I guess.
But yeah. You know what? I want to play this clip now because I'm too excited.
Go.
There's 2 3-minute clips, and honestly, I don't want to play them all in one massive clip. So this is kind of the more sportsy portion of the Charles Barkley program that you missed. And then we'll play a really long clip of Charles Barkley just taking shots at Joel.
I don't need to hear that again. We played enough of it.
Yeah, but there's people that didn't tune into yesterday's program.
So what?
That is tuning in today's program, and they need to hear all the shots.
No, we don't need all that.
So let me play the first clip for you right now.
This is the actual good stuff, right?
Yeah, this is good stuff. Harden discussions in there, having kids, all kinds of random stuff. And then we'll play the other clip in the other next segment where he's just taking shots at you.
Think about this. This is what drives me crazy. There's only one team that won a championship shooting threes. That was the Golden State Warriors. That's the only one that's won shooting a lot of threes. for some reason now, everybody tries to copy them. They had three of the greatest shooters who ever lived on the same team. None of these other teams got that, and they're trying to use that same philosophy. It tells me a couple of things. Number one, basketball players are dominant rock, which is true. And secondly, like, yo, man, you got to have some, like, a plan B if you're not making three. I feel the same way about the steroid situation, to be honest with you, because singing out Roger and Barry and Sammy, I think those probably, I'm trying to think, those are three biggest names. McGuire. Mark also, who got singled out and not going to be going in the Hall of Fame, who should be in the Hall of Fame. I think it's really unfair to those four guys. But those four guys, you can't tell baseball history without those four guys. As far as cheating, Joel, everybody's been cheating for a long time. It's like the NCAA, I call them the Barney Fife of life. They're like, well, we're trying to catch people cheating. I'm like, well, you should have started a long time ago because cheating's been going on forever. Number one, I didn't make enough money. No disrespect to anybody. I made a lot of money, but I didn't make the kind of money these guys are making today. I was blessed to make great money in my day. I missed the big money by probably 3 or 4 years. And then I had you, Bull, and Brett, and Chase. So the money I did make, y'all drank up most of it.
You lost it on the golf course.
Hey, that's the reason. Hey, that's the only reason I'm still working today. I'm concerned about the NIL for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's going to be great for somebody like myself or a guy who's a great player. But I think it's going to bring tremendous resentment from the other players. And let me explain what I mean. Like, if I got a jersey deal, a car deal, you don't think my other teammates going to be pissed because they're not making any money? They're going to be pissed. And think about this. If you're a big offensive lineman who worked your behind off, you're protecting the quarterback, and you're opening up holes for the running back. They selling jerseys. They got a car deal. They pull it in every day in a nice, brand-new car. They got a commercial for some type of food, and they're signing autographs. Like, I'm like, wait, I'm actually doing all the work. All the quarterbacks, like, you don't think that's going to breed resentment? Of course, and I think he's admitted that, though. It's really – but I think also even if they win, there's some shine off. I mean, because there's some shine off of KD, but he's joining the Warriors. Listen – old guys like myself are always going to be resentful of super teams. If somebody had told me in my heyday, well, they're going to judge you harshly if you don't win the championship, I was like, well, maybe I should join up with some of these other guys and we just dominate the league. And then, jackass like Skip Bayless and guys like that can't say he didn't win the championship. But we didn't worry about that in our day. Like me and Patrick and John and Carl, and guys like that, we're like, one guy really admires Dirk Nowitzki. He's like, no, I'm not joining a super team. Because if you win one in that situation, it means a lot more than joining a super team. And Kevin Durant knows that, and James knows that. Even if they win one eventually, it won't be the same.
And you'll find the entire interview on ESPN975.com.
That's well done, Nick.
And it will be repurposed, I believe, on SportsMap, so you'll get two versions.
Yeah, the Zoom, which is why we had issues when we were trying to make sure we handled it the right way, because everybody was worked up that they couldn't see us on the Twitch at the time. But the Zoom had to be a part of that, because then we've got video that we can use and multi-purpose and break down, because it was, I mean, look, where else are you going to find Charles Barkley given an hour of his time?
I know.
We got an hour from Charles.
It
There's so much there that some of it was going to be more, that we can use, we can repurpose for Sports Map, and the most of it we were going to use here for the show. But while we had him, and as long as he didn't say no, we needed to maximize it. So that's why
Absolutely.
We did what we did.
And now we got to get to him taking all these shots
we don't need
in the
that.
Next segment.
We already did that once. We don't need to do it again.
Nope. We can do it again.
I'm going to emphasize one more time. One, we don't need to do that again. And two, if I'm not allowed to cuss at him or go below the belt, and it's a very big belt, by the way, to go back at him, because I'm trying to stay professional. That's not fair. I was thinking about it last night. Like, I could have had so many better rebuttals and all the rebuttals I would have used, but it would have been so offensive.
You would have been
people.
Canceled?
Yeah. for sure.
I got to isolate like three or four of the, like I say, because he has like, I have like maybe seven of them in this interview. Like I say. Although the
Does
guy.
Does he say listen to?
I know he does. Says, Granato's big I know on he's, listen. Yeah, he does say listen. He says, first of all, too much. That's what Kenny Smith doesn't like. He says, first of all,
yes,
to start everything.
Yeah.
Even if it's his like fifth time saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, we got one segment to go. If I can keep y'all from listening to more of that crap, I will. Again, we were absolutely tickled that Charles gave us an hour yesterday. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it and had some fun with it. We'll put more of it on Sports Map in the coming days. But we appreciate you being loyal listeners to the Press Box and also loyal listeners to all of our ESPN programming. Back with the final segment. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, I got a lot I got to get to in this final segment. We got a lot that we got to talk about, and there's a lot of things that we need to break down. So we probably should get into it sooner rather than later, Nick. I'm sure you're with me on this. Right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on everything. What's up?
Okay, good. I said we got a lot to get to in this final segment, a lot to break down and discuss, and there's a lot of things that need to be covered.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you see it my way. Couple things that have come up on the program that need to be paid attention to. Not that we ever care about hockey because it's boring, but they had their expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken.
Okay.
My main takeaway from any highlights I saw, could they not get Sean Kemp a shirt that fit? And why is Sean Kemp that big?
Because Sean Kemp decided to just let it go.
Sean Kemp's not pregnant. All those women were. But Sean Kemp, if you see the pictures, they gave him like a medium, and he's got like a double triple XL frame now.
Yeah, I've seen recent pictures of Sean Kemp. Used to be a guy. I just hated that he played for Seattle, but... But yeah, he's big, and he's refusing to go up a size. I find myself doing the same thing, like keeping the tight shirts tight, just to find motivation to lose weight. Like, I'm not getting a size bigger.
But don't wear them publicly if you do that.
No, you wear them publicly because you shame yourself into losing weight.
Why would you bring that kind of scrutiny on yourself, especially in your case?
Like, that's what AJ looks like right now. I love AJ, and I shouldn't take a parting shot.
Ooh, boy.
But he's losing the battle with every one of his t-shirts. Have you seen how big he's gotten lately?
That's not nice. He was in here talking to me yesterday.
He never comes in and talks to me anymore. Well, that's
probably
it.
Because you're gonna hurt his feelings by saying things like that. Are you implying that he's wearing like second skin sausage casing?
I'm saying
shirts?
He could go a size bigger for sure.
Wow, you're comparing him to Sean Kemp?
No, but Sean Kemp is like way bigger than AJ. Like, he's massive.
I mean, they had Gary Payton on. Obviously, his shirt fit, but I mean, hockey jerseys are traditionally big. You don't need to, like, give the guy a break. If you want him, he's representing you and the Kraken. Give him something that fits.
Yeah, that's on you, Seattle.
Yeah, plus-size dudes aren't going, I got to get to their pro shop. I like that T-shirt. No, they're not. Not if it fits like a water balloon filled to the gills. It's not a good look.
Like this shirt right here.
Yeah.
I used to wear this when I wore, like, baggier clothes. But I'm only wearing it because I'm fatter now. And the smalls and the schmediums don't fit no
But
more.
That doesn't look bad in public. If you're telling me you're going to wear like one of those dry fit spandex tops just so that you can shame yourself into working out more, do that around the house. Show Mama Sciarra and the family. Don't be showing the people you don't need to give them ammunition.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you have enough ammunition when you're wearing a size shirt or two sizes bigger, clearly because you've got a gut and you're bigger. Like, when you're wearing a bigger shirt, you look bigger, and people notice.
But you're saying that AJ doesn't wear a bigger shirt and you're picking on him.
No, you're just bringing it back up.
No, because you, first of all, you would do this to me time and time again.
I don't think he would necessarily disagree.
I don't know, man.
I don't think
he he's in the middle of a crisis. He's moving his whole family across the country.
Why is it a crisis? This is the middle of a good thing.
But it's still, it's a lot of stress. You're selling houses and moving across the country and all these things.
Every time I see him walking down the hall, he's like dancing. He's in a good mood.
I've never seen him dance. I'm thankful of this, but I've never seen him dance.
Oh, he has like a very cheesy dance that it's funny. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, I see him. He's in a good mood. He's dancing.
Okay. Did you see that we had talked about a few weeks ago, months ago, I think, Dr. Dre trying to figure out a reasonable solution to his divorce and how much his wife would be entitled to? And this is not involving the kids, just for her needs. They solved it yesterday, Nick.
I saw one number. I can guess.
It's unbelievable.
The number she's getting, not the kids, I believe is 300K.
Not a year, Nick.
A month.
300K a month.
Yeah.
For the rest of her life. Unless she remarries. I'm telling you right now.
She's never going to remarry.
She's never remarrying. She may have a significant other. She may say she's dating, but she's not going to be that dumb to take it to the level of passing up unless she's marrying a guy worth more money than Dre. And I don't think she's fine in that.
People don't even want to go through that. Women don't even want to go through the headache of changing back to their old last name when they get divorced. What makes you think she's going to remarry? Like, that's just a whole new headache.
I think it kind of depends on what the last name
is. She can have
as
many side pieces she wants.
She
still
dating.
Makes $300,000 a month. She doesn't need to be married. Who wants that noise?
Right. She's just dating.
Marriage is for dummies.
She better just keep saying she's just dating. Because you need $300,000 a month coming in regardless. And then when you start talking about whatever the child support is, oh my God.
You know who I'm going to pursue next? Dr. Dre's ex-wife. Yeah.
Oh. I thought, well, but no, because then, well, you better not marry her though.
No, I don't.
So
I don't need.
You, so
I don't need that commitment. I don't need that commitment.
You're gonna get enough benefits.
Yep. All I need is the benefits.
But how do you know she's going to be willing to give you any of those benefits?
Because once she meets me, she's not going to be able to resist. It's just going to be impossible for her to resist, and she's going to be forced to give me.
Because you're wearing one of those shirts.
$150,000 of $300,000 that she's getting paid. I'm going to get 50%.
So you're wearing one of those shirts, snug tight.
If that's what she wants me to wear.
Okay. Good luck with that. I don't see that coming.
I don't see that being a long shot.
I think you get a better chance just marrying Dr. Dre, and then you get all that money, and you don't have to worry about her not being able to give you what you need.
It's a realistic possibility.
Marrying Dr. Dre?
Nope.
Okay.
Let's play these audio clips of Barkley taking shots at you since you want to be a dick right now.
How could you not see what I was trying to do here the entire segment when I said we have a lot to talk about?
Well, I was going to get to it, but I thought you wanted to get to something. I realized after the fact my brain was a little slow. Look, it's the last segment of the show. I'm kind of excited.
Did you see, by the way, during the Open for the final round of the British? And I caught this at the time, and I told Lisa about it, but I didn't know if I heard it right. But did you see that Colin Morikawa, on his final tee, he's leading by, you know, he was going to win the tournament. But on the 18th hole on the tee box, he gets ready to hit his final drive, and he steps away. And he looks over in the crowd, and his caddy said something. And then one of the announcers said, and you don't know, I'm sure you don't watch golf enough to know, David Faraday.
Oh, no, that guy.
Okay, he's one of the guys that's on the course, and he's kind of a jokester and kind of a real loose guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the time, one of the announcers said, does someone have a whoopee cushion, or is David Faraday here and we didn't know it? But no one said anything else. Morikawa now admits that before he hit the tee shot, he thought he heard somebody break wind. So he stepped away from the tee shot. But the fact that the announcers, without saying the description would be for what he did or what they heard, they just said, does someone have a whoopee cushion? Is Faraday in the crowd? And not a lot of people caught it, but he literally stepped away from a tee shot because he thought that someone ripped one.
I mean, I would too, right? You don't want that type of distraction in your life. Nobody wants that.
And is it a distraction because you're laughing, or is it a distraction because you think that...
For many reasons.
I think it's funny. But, I mean, I would be laughing on the tee box. Good for you that you have the confidence, instead of wearing a small shirt, that you can just break wind in a large crowd of people.
All right, we don't have time for the long clip, so I just have to shorten it down for one clip because we have to go to break.
No, we're good.
We'll just play this one.
All right, folks.
And I'm going to just tell you this. I'm not even worried about you anymore, okay? But you got a dude down there in Houston. His name is Bull. His real name is Jamie. If your name is Jamie, you should be called Bull because Jamie's a girl's name. But let me just tell you something. This dude talks so much trash. I'm going to stomp a mud hole in his ass on the golf course as soon as I get down there, because this dude talks so much.
It wasn't about me. I'm good.
Well, I didn't want
to
replay
all of
them.
We've given so much run to my boy Bull today that everybody's going to be asked. You don't want to see him. You just don't. You want to talk about a guy that's still wearing those snug shirts and shouldn't be? And a guy named Bull, you can only imagine. It's not because he's too skinny. Yeah, no. Just, no. It's going to give you every... If I show you his picture after the show, you won't be wearing those shirts anymore. All right, that's it for us on a Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday, we're back, so hopefully you will be too. Lots more to talk about. Astros will be back at it tomorrow night, but they're off tonight. So if you want to think of something sportsy to talk about tomorrow, bring it to us. We'll probably be open for it. Lord knows Charlie will be. All right, the Blitz is coming up next. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.